Vince Gill joining us here this morning.
First guy who's ever got the music question correctly of his own song, right?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I got the cover of your album, Vince, The Things That Matter.
I had a jawline once.
You're a good-looking man.
Thank you.
1985.
Yeah.
What do you remember about that album?
Not much. You know, it's just so long ago. That's 35 years ago. You know, just they all the covers trying to have glam shots and doll you up. So
I think it's
good hair. Those were good hair days.
You look good. You're standing at a cafe somewhere. I like waiting on your order, but handsome man.
Well, Vince, we got a little surprise guest for you.
Excellent.
On the phone. He just retired. Well, I'm not even going to. You know who it is.
Yeah.
Say hello to Rick Berg. Hey, good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Benny.
How you doing, Coach?
I'm good. You?
Pretty good. What time are we playing today? Now that you're retired.
In this weather?
Yeah.
Go to Scotland and get better weather than this.
Yeah, I know.
Vince, what went through your mind when Rick announced that he was going to retire?
Well, just I was grateful, you know, grateful for a friendship that's lasted 32 years, and we've been great friends ever since we first met at Nashville Golf, before I'd ever seen a game of him coaching at Belmont. And how we met was at the golf course, and he just came over to me and he said, "Hey, I'm a big music fan. I actually know who you are." This was before I had any success or whatever. And I liked him right away. And he said, "Hey, I coach a small school. I know you like sports." And I started going to the games, and he's the reason I got so plugged into, I think, the sports scene here in the way that I did, was because of my friendship with Rick.
Rick, the first time you met Vince, he had did he have his big hair coiffed up and everything?
No, he had a little bit of a mullet going on, and by the way, he didn't know who I was, so I was ahead of him. You know, we just shared a love of the same kind of things, of sports and music, both of us. He was in golf, and he was better at golf and a little bit better at music than I was. We've been through a lot as friends. All of it good, but helping each other along the way in some different areas, and had some great trips and great moments. And I was just thinking about that. I got to see his first performance on the Grand Ole Opry, and got to see he and Chet Atkins backstage at the Ryman filming a TV special, just trading songs back and forth, and that may be as good as it ever gets right there. And a lot of great golf courses and trips and conversation.
You know, the first place we ever played golf together was down in Murfreesboro, Old Fort, I think was the name of the golf course. And
I wanted to tell this story, Ben.
You know, this is a great story. But, you know, Rick invites me, you know, and he doesn't know anything about me, whether I'm a straight-laced guy or an idiot, you know, sometimes both. But he invited me down there with Ron Bargatze and Bill Moore, I think, and Rick, and they needed one more for this tournament. So I said, "Okay, I'll come down there." And I'd never played golf with Rick, only been to a game or two. So I'm driving down to Murfreesboro, and I've never been to this golf course. So I'm going like 50 miles an hour down the highway looking for the entrance to this golf course and plow right into the back of some dude in a van or something, and completely totaled my car. And I didn't get hurt or anything that I thought of, but anyway, the policeman was nice enough to say, "Hey, I kind of know who you are, and I'm not going to let this guy know that you're in the doing pretty good in the music world," or whatever. So I said, "Okay, whatever," you know. So the car's totaled, and they take it away, and I got my golf clubs, and I'm right there at the entrance of the golf course. And the policeman says, "Is there anything I can do for you?" I said, "If you could just run me up here to this golf course, I'd appreciate it." So, of course, I put my clubs in the trunk, and I'm in the back seat, and there's no door handle, so you can't get out. And I'm running a little bit late, and everybody's ready to start. And so they're all sitting there, and go, the cop calls up and Rick says, "That's probably him there." You know? You got some idiot from the music world. And sure enough, it was me. So that's how our golf career began together. Right, me getting out of a car.
You do the video One More Last Chance. Where was that? And Rick is prominent in the video with you. Where's that taped?
At the golf club. No, it's at the Golf Club of Tennessee and at Nashville Golf. We did two golf courses.
That had to be a blast.
That was just a blast. All we did was play golf for 2 days, and they filmed it. I was kidding them when I said, "Yeah, I think we should do this video on the golf course." And they went, "Okay," and I went, "Wow, fooled them." So we got to play golf for 2 days, and they made a video out of it.
Rick, was that your first time being around all that with the taping and Vince and all the production?
Oh, actually, Tony Brown had done a little video in our gym prior to that, and kind of like pickup basketball, and so I'd seen that. But no, that was pretty good. And I think I got paid like $75 for the 2 days. It was a win-win.
When was the first, Rick? Obviously, Vince's season tickets are right behind you. When was the first time you had to turn around and say, "Vince," or just give him the look? Because there for a while, and the referees had to love it. Think about it. That cop that dropped you off, he's told that story his whole life. You know that. And the referee that just, that you berated, he's told that story his whole life. But, Rick, I'm asking you first. Do you ever say, "Hey, I don't know if that you're helping here"?
No, I don't have done that, but I can tell you the first time, and that is that the first game he ever came to, and we are not, great friends at this point at all. He's just decided to come to the game because we played golf together and rode back in the car to Nashville and talked, and he comes to the game, and we used to have an early season conference tournament when we were in the TCAC, NAIA days, and it was held at Lipscomb. And so we had an afternoon game against Union, and there were probably about 25 people in the stands, period, for that game. And Vince comes and gets right behind the bench, and it's the first 3 or 4 minutes, and he doesn't like some call. And the next thing we know is we hear him tromping up down to the other end on the bleachers, making all the noise that empty bleachers do when you run down to the other end. And Dr. Gabhart, our chancellor, was sitting with Ron Gardetzi, and said, "Who is that young fella right there?" And he tells him, Ron says, "Well, he's a country music singer." He said something like, "Well, he's a pretty active young fella, isn't he?" He made his presence known. He's been sometimes genuinely upset and officiating, but more times than not, he's just having a good time. And he and the officials have had a lot of good conversations over the years after the game or something like that. It really has been a great partnership, at least a real plus for our program and our university, for a guy who achieved what he has, a Hall of Fame guy in his business, and in my mind the number one guy in the past 25 years in that business in terms of the respect that he has, to just be a supporter of ours. And I can remember him coming to Washington, D.C. in our game that we lost to Duke in the NCAA tournament by a point. And just so many times he's found a way to be there and support our team.
I will tell you my favorite story with Vince and Belmont basketball is one night it's a midweek game. It's a Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever. And we always spot Vince behind the bench. It's just what we always do. It's a great cutaway. But this one particular game, he's sitting there with Kevin Stallings. And there's a bad call on the court, and both these yahoos are up yelling at the ref, and they won't stop. So I go back, I'm at Channel 2 at the time, and I call ESPN. I said, "Hey, I got some great video for you." They're like, "Yeah, what is it?" I said, "Yeah, Vince Gill, Kevin Stallings in a Belmont basketball game yelling at a referee." They're like, "Absolutely." It was number 3 or 4 that night on the SportsCenter top 10 of these two guys yelling at referees. It was an awesome moment to cap. I was the only one to capture this. It's like 10 years ago. It was fantastic.
I never saw that, but I can tell you, they just fed off each other because one was not going to let the other one outdo themselves.
I'll tell you what, guys, all that stuff, I'll tell you what, I think that 9 times out of 10, I made a referee laugh more than I made him mad, you know, and that was really the point, is to, you know, there's no point in screaming and yelling and being ugly, but if you can do it with a sense of humor, then everybody wins.
Yeah,
you know, and I make them laugh way more than I make them mad. One of my greatest achievements was getting an F bomb from a Lipscomb player. That was
wow.
But you know, it's been always kind of the point of it was to have humor, and I think this might be my favorite story. Nobody probably knows this one, but you know, Belmont's played a game, and this guy's been calling things, and I've been lighting him up all night long. I'm just having fun, and so we're leaving the gym, and it's just me and Rick, and he'd taken a shower, and I always waited for him until the game was done. We'd go to Brown's Diner, we'd go to Sportsman's Grill or something, and talk about the game, and just hang out, and so we're leaving the gym. And there's only 3 cars in the parking lot, mine and Rick's and one of the officials that I was just wearing out, you know. And my car is sitting there parked in the parking spot, and he backs up and he runs into it. You know, he backs into my car. And I'm walking out there, and he gets out of the car, and he goes, "Oh, God, no, it's not your car, is it?" And I said, "Yeah, it's my car." I said, "I'll tell you what. I said, as bad as you were tonight, I'll bet you thought that my car was moving, so it's not a charge, but it's a block." And we laughed our heads off at that, you know. And that's the, you know, at the end of the day, that's all I'm trying to holler a bunch of stuff. Rick wished he could yell. You know, can't. I'm just sticking up for my buddy.
Rick Bird with us, Belmont basketball coach. 33 years at Belmont, 37 overall. That's off the top of my head. And if I were going to print out bios on Vince Gill and Rick Bird, I think his would be longer than yours, Vince, because, I mean, it's like 4 or 5 pages of every achievement. Greg Sage, this guy can't put on socks right without Greg Sage making it something, but it's amazing what he did and the outpouring when he announced his retirement from every corner of the public and obviously the sports sector. No surprise.
Exactly, and I think it once again, when you add it all up, you know, regardless of how many paragraphs there are to talk about Rick, the most important thing was how he did it. And with the character and the class and the kindness and those kinds of things, to me, outweigh all the wins, all the everything, you know, just the person.
I do like, though, when Rick retired, they interviewed you on TV. A certain TV station put the graphic up as Vince Gill, Belmont's most famous alumni.
I know. I like getting credit for having a college education, but I'm an idiot. I never cracked a book in my life.
You'd think by now you would get an honorary degree from over there.
I did. They gave me an honorary degree.
Okay, so there you go.
Perfect. Perfect.
It was. They gave me an honorary doctorate in yelling.
Now, let me come back on what Vince just said, and the reason that he appreciates that is because that's the way he's been in his business, and the things that he values are decency and humility and treating people right. There's not a time that I have seen someone come up to him and he didn't introduce himself as Vince. He never assumed that person knew, even though he knew they knew who he was. He didn't carry around a Sharpie because somebody might want his autograph. He's not going to assume that. That's just the way he is. And I guess Vince, in the long run, we're good friends because we value very much of the same kind of things.
Yep.
Well, he didn't show up down here with his posse and security this morning, so.
I don't think I've ever had one.
Hey, Rick, I know you're going to be asked this many, many times in the next year, especially as Casey Alexander takes over the program and everything. The part that you're going to miss, is it starting to creep in a little bit now?
You know, I don't think so, Greg. It's going to have to get a lot closer to games and further away from the way I feel on game days and the anxiety about trying to win the next game. But I've thought about this for a long time, and I've always wanted to have some years where Vince and I could go play some golf and go on a trip and just healthy years. So I'll miss the players, and I'll miss being a part of a team because that's been my life. But just like Vince, you know, whenever he shuts it down, he's great and he loves on stage and the music and all that, but I bet he missed the camaraderie with the band guys, because I've seen that forever with him, and that's the part that probably will be the toughest.
Well, I'll just tell you, he's going to be in Belgium, Germany, Netherlands, Switzerland, Sweden,
that.
Denmark, London, Liverpool, Leeds, Glasgow, Scotland, Ireland, Las Vegas.
Places with good golf courses. I've already looked at his itinerary. that's the only trips I ever went on with him before anyway.
Yeah, he said I could give or take the music, but man, there's going to be a good golf course in Columbus. Can I go with you?
Exactly.
Do you take your sticks with you when you go on
tour?
Well,
pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
Why not? That's what I did for, that kept me out of a lot of trouble, actually, you know, with spare time, I think, you know, and I'd go to a town and I'd just find a neat golf course and, hey, anybody want to trade some concert tickets for some green fees? And they were always, always willing, you know.
Well, and I notice here, Rick, just saying, the Eagles play June 10th in Copenhagen, and they've got 13 days in between before you play Wembley Stadium in London. Is that a get back home or stay over? Or?
They're all staying, but I'm going to come home.
Come home for a while.
I like it at home too much.
Yeah, but we were talking about him playing Wembley Stadium, probably the most famous outdoor stadium in the world. And with the Eagles.
Yeah, it's not going to be. It's just going to be great. You know, I'm having the best time. This is my third year of doing it, and nobody knew when we first started 3 years ago what would transpire, if anybody would be receptive or it would be a lot of animosity or they just weren't into it or whatever. But it's been a real blessing, I think, for them too, you know, and it's been a good deal for everybody.
Rick, we're going to let you go. Thank you for joining us sort of spur of the moment. Get back to your spring cleaning. You got a bunch of honeydews now, don't you?
Well, a few, but some of it's just getting all this stuff done after retirement, the answering the notes and emails and all the great stuff that I've gotten. And so thanks for having me on. Thanks for giving me a chance to talk about and with Vince. He's a special person and friend, and you were kind to have us on together.
Thank you, Rick. Say goodbye to Rick.
Bye.
See you, Coach.
See you, buddy.
Happy Easter.
You too.
What a man.
He's unbelievable. You know, I think and then you look at that 32 years of the kids that came through there, the graduation rate, the grade point average, you know, I don't think that you'd find anybody that touched that.